This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Mark Brandau, VP Solution Management at SAP SuccessFactors. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
SuccessFactors announced candidate relationship management. Why now?
Good question. As opposed to what, it's why. Why, and especially why now? A number of things. I think that recruiters and customers in the market are really starting to assemble and want to have better engagements with their potential candidates over a long term and cultivate deeper relationships. The global market in terms of hiring right now is really tough. It's very challenging to find really, really good candidates. The time is right to really look at a more comprehensive way to do that over a longer period of time and have a more nurturing relationship with good potential candidates over many, many, what could be months, maybe even years, before they actually become an employee. It's a confluence of where the global economy is and unemployment is, as well as customers wanting to develop those relationships with candidates early on. Now's just great timing for that, based on customer input.
I haven't heard anything mentioned so far, but do you see that evolving into alumni management and also leveraging the freelancer economy where people come in, disappear off, do further education, maybe work part-time, and then come back again?
Absolutely. And it's interesting. We actually have a partner application today. We actually use it SAP internally, and it's built on the SAP Cloud platform. It's through a partner called Enterprise Jungle. We use SAP. We refer to it as alumni management. It's a partner application designed to do exactly what you're referring to. But overall, is there a confluence, and should there be, say, a talent pool within candidate relationship management to look at maybe the alumni area as a source of talent? You better believe it. I think you're spot on.
Are they an acquisition target, Enterprise Jungle?
I can tell you this, that what I will say is, as a mature software company, we certainly look at all aspects. We look at building, partnering, and buying in terms of what's going to serve our customers best. Right now, we're partnering with them, and we're really happy to do that.
You also announced today that Arvato had used the SAP model company service, I think for the first time within SAP SuccessFactors. And it's interesting, the announcement cited 14 weeks rather than 98 days, which is more or less than 100 days. The thing I picked up on that is that obviously they are part of Bertelsmann, so that makes it easier for that model company to apply because actually Bertelsmann already has most of their processes internally defined. When do you think we'll see the first new company use that process?
Oh, I think it's imminent. It may have already happened, and frankly, I'm not aware of it. That's very possible. The only reason I say that is because I know that there's been a lot of extraordinary interest in it because everything is predefined in the model company. It removes so much guesswork and complexity in terms of getting started with a cloud solution and what that looks like. It's just a real advantage. So I think it's imminent. If it hasn't happened already, it may have, and I'm just not aware of it at this point.
Will that be verticalized?
It might be. It's actually a very good question. There's a good chance of that it could be. And I would say this year we have reignited view of looking at success factors in the vertical markets that we serve. As you know, SAP has a tremendous go-to-market in verticals. We actually have a reignited strategy around taking success factors into vertical markets. And I want to be clear about this. It's not all 26 markets. This year, right now, we're going to go 26 markets. It's actually very disciplined. There are a few markets that are different, whether that's public sector that introduce some different things. We're taking a very, very pragmatic view of it and looking at 3, 4, 5 at a time in terms of go-to-market and building that up. And then next quarter, we'll look at another 3, 4, 5 and being really diligent about that. And as part of that go-to-market, that's very likely to include some specific things for model company.
Is that 14 weeks prescribed timeline or will it vary?
It'll vary. It'll absolutely vary. It might be less. It might be a little more, but it could certainly be less.
I assume it's broken up to sections in terms of the implementation process.
It is. It absolutely is.
One of the things we saw on stage yesterday was the new Android app launching this autumn. Why did you take the approach of developing first for iOS and then a separate thing for Android, rather than look at HTML5 and having a more common mobile platform?
Actually, it sort of answers all the above. We are looking and have developed across HTML5 and responsive design pages. In fact, many of our pages in our suite today leverage responsive design. And the first thing I'm thinking of is certainly in the area of recruiting. We were just talking about recruiting a few minutes ago with career sites and building career sites. That's all done through responsive design. What we'd look to do is have the right answer for what we think is going to get the most usability. HTML5 and responsive design, that could be fine, but we're an app-centric world at the end of the day, and a lot of folks just, I like my app, and it affords me to do certain things in an app that I might not be able to do in responsive design. I can take advantage of certain, in this case, very Google-specific things or Android-specific things that are application-centric that may not be available in HTML5 or responsive design. We want to make those available. We want to have an app available as appropriate and leverage HTML5 and responsive design where it makes sense and as appropriate. Our strategy around that is clearly to say, I think it's all of the above, when and where they make sense the most. But we're pretty excited about the app. We've had a lot of good feedback on mobile a lot recently.
Well, about half the audience, I think, had Android devices, so clearly there's desire in talking to customers.
I was with a customer a few weeks ago at our Sapphire event, and Kiewit is their name, and they build roads and maintain roads, and they have crews out on these highways and doing work. Part of what they're doing that's incredible is they're leveraging mobile for performance management. I couldn't believe it. I said, you guys got to be kidding. They said, no, we actually need road crews to evaluate the past section of work that they've done real time so the next section of road can be improved upon. And they do that in the field as they're doing these things, doing instant feedback around what worked and what didn't, whether that's laying tar or scraping the asphalt or doing certain things. And it's mobile, and it's in the field, and it's while they're doing road work, which is just incredible.
Anecdote, I covered a tarmac company a few months ago and learned that tarmac varies per region in the U.S. So it's, are you using the right tarmac? It's probably one of those questions.
Exactly.
SuccessFactors cloud customers will all be on HANA by the end of the year. What difference is that going to make going forward from a marketing point of view?
Well, a few things. I think that, to be simple about this, it's a cloud business. So from an HR business partner or an employee point of view, are they still going to their browser or to your earlier question, their mobile app? Yep, they sure are. Are they going to see HANA? Nope, they absolutely won't. Are they going to feel HANA? They will. The way they will feel HANA, and it'll be a little bit different, is not only the speed and the performance of the database that's underpinning now their cloud applications and their experience, that should increase. That should also increase in not just performance, but also certainly reliability as it scales. But other areas where they'll really see performance improvements and some things they couldn't do before are really around analytics and the types of things they can do with analytics. That could be, we were talking about recruiting earlier, that could be like combining structured and unstructured data in the same database to have more ready access to different things on a candidate, all in one place, all immediately accessible with incredible performance. The expansion of real-time analytics across multiple data sources from within SuccessFactors, because it's all based on HANA, that will be more felt across the board. Is it something they're going to see when they click the browser and dive it? No, but they're going to feel it when they start to do analytics, when they start to apply things, say, in recruiting, for example, around different data sources, around a candidate. They'll feel it over time. It'll be much more prevalent as they go forward.
That's current customers. What about potential and future customers? Would it make a difference to the sales efforts?
I think so, because at the end of the day, when you're pointing back to the data and the analytics and what's provided for new customers as well, this matters. At the end of the day, it matters the performance, the scalability, the data center, the type of cloud that you're running. Those things matter. I think it's equal for both current and future customers.
And what about your on-premise customers? Because you've still got quite a lot of on-premise customers, and they're obviously not on HANA yet. Is there a move to try and shift them to HANA? What's the kind of strategy to take them to the cloud? Because obviously maintenance in the cloud is a little easier as well.
There's a lot of strategies and programs we have in place to help them consider migrating to the cloud. I won't go into all of them, but Model Company is one nice example. You were asking about that earlier. That's a prepackaged way to help them move. For example, we have an upgrade to success program that takes consideration not just technical pieces, but also business terms and conditions. I've mentioned earlier the SAP Cloud Platform. That's actually another thing that helps customers move. And the reason I say that is because a lot of on-premise customers have highly customized environments that they've done over time. And they go, geez, how am I going to be able to really tailor and make sure I can do things that I need to do for my environment? Well, one of the ways they can do that is with the SAP Cloud Platform. They can deploy new apps. They can build new extensions. They can build new tools to extend their SuccessFactors environment. There's many things we surround on-premise customers with to make transition or thinking about transition a little bit easier, not to mention the fact that they can flexibly do it. They don't have to move everything. They could start with performance management, performance and goals, keep core HR on-premise, moving at their own pace in their own way when it makes sense. That's a big part of it as well.
You've answered part of this question already by talking about customizations, but what other resistance are you seeing from people about not wanting to move to the cloud or not willing to move to the cloud?
There's a couple of things, actually. I think generally certainly customer I've come across understands that the jury is in. There is clearly that we are making the majority of our investment in innovation in cloud, as is every other vendor for this space. I think the resistance is not so much, should I move to cloud? It's a question of how I do it and where I start. So if people are unsure about anything, it's about where they start and how they construct the business cases and arguments to do that so they can get funding internally and they're successful. But the things we put in place are to try to help that. Those are the biggest areas by far about, I'm just not sure where to start and how do I get funding to do this.
We're obviously seeing an increasing amount of compliance. GDPR's just come out in Europe, and we're seeing more calls for data sovereignty outside of Europe as well as inside. Does that make that move to cloud harder? Are people looking for multiple instances of success factors? What's your approach to that?
I don't think it's made it harder, believe it or not. It's actually been a stimulus to move to cloud because I think people are recognizing in their on-premise environments they may not be able to have the level of data security and privacy that the cloud affords them. And then I know that sounds a little bit opposite, but if you think about the fact for a minute that a lot of on-premise customers have multiple HR systems in some cases in multiple countries in multiple locations, that's an incredible security risk because they're never going to keep up with the level of security and encryption and data privacy enforcement that they're going to need over time. That's just not going to happen. Going to cloud, from what I've seen in customers I've talked with, affords them the ability to think freshly about security and privacy and data governance. It's actually a little bit of a relief to say, I can now look at this squarely and not dodge it and not be afraid of it, but have some discipline about how I think about this. There's an occasional question about, to your point, about sovereignty and where data resides at the end of the day. But because we have 14 data centers globally and more planned, that hasn't been a resounding issue so far.
If I have data sovereignty requirements, say in Germany and UK and US, and I want three different instances of success factors, can I then get a holistic global overview as well as having those separate data sources?
And it just goes back to what the country and the organization requires. Some may say, look, I need to keep data resident in a certain data center for a certain reason. But does that preclude your ability to view data or to take an action? No, it doesn't. It's simply a question of where data resides at the end of the day and the security you're applying there. That's the good news. It does take that level of distinction and granularity to surface that out to say, what are we trying to accomplish as a global business? Where are things residing? Where does data reside? Are we putting in place the proper prompts for authorizations to share data, to view data? The good news is that's on us, and we take care of that for customers.
The announcement around Microsoft, I assume, is so you can increase your data center footprint as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.